Welcome back to Head Games with J.C. Pearson, one of the bright young stars on the Fox Sports Network. J.C., here's a little bit, just a quick clip from another former chief, Ron Jaworski, about the Dallas flaws.
I actually have the Detroit offense against the Dallas defense right in front of me. I'm watching Mike Martz's beautifully designed offense. Whoever Mike Martz is, you see some great offense. But what it is showing me, the flaws in the Dallas defense.
The flaws in the Dallas defense. Now, in their secondary in particular in Dallas, J.C., which is worse, the secondary issues in Dallas or with the injuries to Marcus Trufant, Jimmy Williams, Kelly Herndon? Is the Seahawk secondary in more trouble?
Yes, it definitely is in more trouble. And I did the game, the Seahawks game, last week against Tampa Bay when Herndon and Jimmy Williams got injured. And it's an issue because they ended up having to go with the rookie Kelly Jennings at one corner and then Jordan Babineau, who was a backup safety, at the other corner. Now they've had to go out this week and they signed three guys that were not playing anywhere. They were on the street, guys who haven't played all year long. Now you got to bring those guys in and ask them to play for you because they've got to have guys line up in nickel. And if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to go a lot more three wide receivers, maybe even four wide receiver sets, to see how Seattle's gonna play. If they bring those guys in off the street and expect them to come in and play in a playoff atmosphere, you're asking for trouble. So what you get is you get a lot of zone coverage. So now Tony Romo comes up to the line of scrimmage. He makes his pre-snap reads. He already knows that they're in zone coverage, so he knows right now where he's going with the football, and that makes it a lot easier for him.
Especially with the way he has been so prone to turnovers, how big an issue is his focus this week? Is it maybe that as a young player with so much attention, he gets the Pro Bowl after, what, six or seven games, that he
right.
took some things for granted, and that has humbled him enough to be more focused this week?
Well, no question. But as you know, as we all know who have played, when you get to the playoffs, it's a different atmosphere, different
all bets
level.
Are off.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole different deal, man. And when you're a young guy and you've never experienced that, it's a shocker. And so there's going to be an adjustment period for him. What the Cowboys have to do for Tony Romo is not put a lot of pressure on him. Give him easy throws early on, get him in a comfort level, in a rhythm, and then try to open it up. And obviously they should have the advantage in the passing game with Terrell Owens and Terry Glenn, even Jason Witten, versus that beaten-up Seattle secondary. But it all starts with the trigger man, and he's a young guy, and you better believe that Seattle's going to try to get him rattled early.
Well, most of the teams going into playoffs are saying that have been lucky enough to get their running game going. Certainly the Giants know that that's their only chance, I think, this week. But what about with the Seahawks with Sean Alexander, 232 yards and 59 carries the last 2 weeks? How much are they going to depend on him now that he's back at full strength?
Well, you know, the thing with the Seahawks is they've had so many injuries offensively, and now they're starting to get healthy again. And that's what people don't seem to realize is, you know, the funny thing about them is their starters coming into the season, their first-string offense, they have not played one single game this year together. That's how many injuries they've had. And now they're starting to get healthy. They've got Bobby Engram back. Sean's healthy. Hasselbeck is healthy. You know, so now those guys are starting to roll. And remember, they were the best offense in the league last year statistically. So those guys are going to be pretty good, and they're going to give Dallas a lot of fits, especially in Seattle. They can run the ball now, and then they've got Bobby Engram back. D.J. Hackett has stepped up at the wide receiver position to go along with Darryl Jackson and Deion Branch. They've got some weapons up there in Seattle.
Let's talk about defensive coordinator Zimmer for the Cowboys, and explain to people that aren't fully versed in what cover two is. If they're going to be running, as we expect, a lot of cover two schemes to protect against the big pass, which you're saying is a real threat now with Seattle again, explain what that means.
Well, the problem that you're going to have, first of all, cover two means you've got two safeties playing the deep halves of the field. So those guys are basically out of run support, and they're playing pass and preventing any deep throws. Your cornerbacks are playing in the flats on the outside, trying to reroute those wide receivers and force them to the middle of the field. The problem that they're going to run into with that is now you've only got seven guys in the box to stop the run. If Sean Alexander gets going in the running game, you've got to bring a safety down to help in that run game, and now you can't play cover two. Now you've got to play either three deep zone or you got to play man-to-man That's where they're struggling. That's where they're getting hurt. And then also with the Cowboys, Roy Williams is not really a pass defender anyway. He's a safety that needs to be up in the box and making some tackles. When you try to get him playing half the field in coverage, he struggles. So, you know, it's a tough situation for Zimmer to say, hey, we're just going to only play cover two because you can't stop the run as well, and now you've got a safety that's limited. So they've got to put their corners. They've got to step up and play this week, and it's going to be tough for them.
We're joined by a guy that usually covers tennis, but whose father played for the New York Giants and always has fun talking a little football, Luke Jensen. Thanks for joining us. Aloha.
Aloha, man. I'm in Kapalua. No Tiger Woods, but a lot of great golf and tennis.
All right. Well, we're joined by J.C. Pearson from Fox. And guys, we'll start with J.C. Interesting comparison to a Matt Hasselbeck who's on a mission, like Tom Brady after being snubbed from the Pro Bowl. Matt Hasselbeck, you know, you're so close to getting that championship. You miss a few games. He's fresh. He's motivated. He's mobile. Tony Romo, fresh, motivated, but maybe not mature enough yet for the situation. How do you compare them, J.C.?
Well, I don't think you can because Tony Romo has only done it for, you know, 8 games, really. You know, Matt Hasselbeck's done it for a number of years.
That counts for a lot, doesn't it?
It does. Experience, and like we talked about earlier, the playoff atmosphere is completely different from the regular season. So it is going to be a crazy atmosphere, especially up there in Seattle where they've got that 12th man. It's going to be loud. It's going to be noisy. And it's going to be a new experience for Tony Romo. And like I said, they've got to make sure that he doesn't make any mistakes early that's going to hurt that ball club.
Luke, let's talk about playoff time. You're suddenly switching hats from tennis coach to football coach. How do you get the Seattle team ready? How do you get a Tony Romo ready for the playoffs where all bets are off?
I think the biggest thing is you have to understand you put it all down to one game at a time, one play at a time, one half, one quarter, and you go down to execution. I think the more time these quarterbacks have to execute their pass plays and their routes, then they're going to execute. So many times you see the offensive line breaking apart. There are injuries. Everybody's busted up. But whoever can hold that offensive line where you can establish that running game and then open up some passing routes, then you're styling.
J.C., the Kingdom, we played in that many times, but this new stadium is truly, as you mentioned, the 12th man. How different is it? How much more difficult is it to play there?
It's very difficult. Number one, you know, you're playing in the atmosphere as well, the elements. So it'd probably be raining up there in Seattle. It'll be cold, which would be, something new for Dallas. And then it is so loud up there. You remember last year when the Giants went up there and played, the crowd forced 11 false start penalties against the Giants. Crazy.
That's right.
Made the league go up there and say, hey, are they piping in noise? Can this crowd really be that loud? And it was all crowd. And so that's something that Dallas is going to have a problem with this weekend is that crowd noise and the false start penalties. You can't audible at the line of scrimmage and change plays. And, you know, when you've got a young guy doing it for the first time, there'll be some problems for the Cowboys offense.
Hey, Luke, let's talk about comparing the noise of Davis Cup, you know, tennis and golf. Let's all be very pretty and very polite. Let's not make noise while they're hitting the ball. And then suddenly the Davis Cup people are yelling and screaming. How do you coach your players to not let the noise distract them?
I think you have to embrace the moment. I think the biggest thing in tennis, we don't have, 50, 60, 70,000 people in stadiums like you do in football. But the biggest thing is they're right on top.
But they're right there.
They're right there, and you get into South America, you get into some of these places in Europe where they start throwing things at you, and out in South America they spit on you, and it's pretty rough. But the biggest thing is that as soon as you get off to a good start, don't let the crowd get into it. Get off to a good start and just put the crowd right out of it and take their player out of the match by playing your style, whether it's offensive, defensive, but winning the match always quiets the crowd.
I think the bottom line, J.C. Pearson, is if they can take the deep threat away from Dallas, that this Seattle team is going to win by a good 10 points. What's your pick for the game?
Well, I think Seattle will probably win the game, like you said, if they don't give up big plays. And that's going to be a question mark for them with those banged up corners and that weak secondary. But I think overall Seattle is the better team, and they should win this game. I think Tony Romo, being a young guy, is going to struggle. And as long as you keep Terrell Owens and Terry Glenn in check, I think you can stop the running game.
to me, also, it's who has something to prove. We talked earlier, and somehow Tom Brady finds a way to, as Solomon Wilcox talked about yesterday, to get a chip on his shoulder, to know that he has to prove, not to other people, but to himself. Let's shift to this Giants-Philly game. The Giants, maybe they didn't back into the playoffs, but they played horribly the last half of the year. Luke, Eli Manning, tremendous pressure on him as well. How do you get this team up for this kind of challenge?
Well, I think he's got to look inside and really get fired up. Don't look at the media reports. Look at what you have to do to become a better player right now. Forget everything else. What you have to do is think about your progressions, your reads, all those types of things, and how can you make your team look into your eyes and see confidence, not doubt. I see so much doubt with Eli. Every time I see him, his body language is just so negative. If he throws a pick, anything happens wrong, he seems to wear it on his face. You got to show that confidence, at least physically, to get your team going.
Let's switch to Philadelphia, a team that's on a roll that has found a magician in Jeff Garcia. JC, I asked this question yesterday to Solomon. Is there any chance that the Giants can win this game?
You know, there's always a chance that the Giants can win, of course. It's the playoffs, and everybody's got a chance. Philadelphia, you know, is on a roll. They're one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They're doing it with their defense, of course, and Jeff Garcia has played well. You know, everybody's so high on, you know, Jeff Garcia's on a roll. He's doing this. Remember, Jeff Garcia is still Jeff Garcia. If he was all that, he would have been starting a long time ago for somebody. You know, he was in San Francisco and played decent, went up to Detroit, didn't play well at all. And
wrong kind of system, though.
Yeah, right, but still, you know, the West Coast offense he ran in San Francisco. And he's played well now. You know, the key to that offense is Brian Westbrook. That's really the key, and it's not Jeff Garcia. But, you know, as long as Garcia, like we talked about with Romo and those guys, if he does not lose the game for him and just manage it, don't try to do too much. Don't start thinking that, you know, everybody's saying Jeff Garcia, so now he's got to go out and try to be a hero. Can't do that in the playoffs. Know your role, play your role, and let your playmakers make the plays for you.
Luke, we just got 30 seconds in this segment. Michael Strahan, huge cheerleader for them, tremendous effect on their one-loss record. Jeremy Shockey, another emotional component to the Giants. Without those guys around, maybe they're on the sidelines, how do the Giants get the kind of level of aggression to really have a chance?
It's time for other people to step up and get after it. This is the playoffs, baby. We get bloody and you get mean. Take them out.
No blood, no foul. When we come back, final thoughts from J.C. Pearson. Luke Jensen, best tennis expert in the country, talking about football, because this guy has football running through his blood, through his DNA. We'll be right back on Head Games, on Sports Byline, and SiriusXM.